It's time now for Empowered Family Talk with Francita Hallris.
Do you want to empower families and young people in your community? Then take the time to make a tax-deductible contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. The Coach Tate Foundation is dedicated to helping young people and their families in learning and passing on the kinds of life skills that we all need to succeed. All too often, we hear about kids and their families having encountered life's difficulties that could have been easily avoided by knowing better decision-making skills, from anger management to money management to something as simple as learning to manage how we spend our time or how we use our job skills. Make a donation to the Coach Tate Fund. It'll help kids who need help and their families too. Make your contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. Get details at www.coachtatefoundation.com. And oh, by the way, thank you.
May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning. It's family time, and welcome back to Empower Family Talk. We the people, paying it forward in this 21st century as we come together to balance these scales of justice within our T-R-U-S-T, trust. Are we ready? Good morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Doing well, Francina. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. I think we have a great topic today in trust. And I'd like to share with our listeners our research this week on the best definition we could find of trust is a biblical definition. And it is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. And the scripture that I will share with our listeners, there's several good scriptures on trust, but one that stands out to me, particularly today, is Psalms 56, 3 through 4. It says, in God we trust. Now, Marcus, what say you on this most important topic, trust?
To me, Francina, trust is all about when you establish a bond, a relationship with someone, either personal, i.e., and or business, that really you and that person know that no matter what happens, you will be there for each other. In business, if you have a partner, if you don't trust him or her, or they don't trust you, you won't have a fully sustaining, long-lasting business enterprise. That's one of the reasons that my business, Caden Premier, we went bankrupt. When I found out that my partner wasn't what I thought he was, the trust that we had in each other was broken, and as that was the main foundational crack that really led to a lot of other things, like some of our best employees leaving and then making some bad decisions. Really looking back at it today, Francina, it was just a matter of time before Caden crumbled, which it did. In relationships, you know, if you don't trust your spouse or your partner or someone you're dating or seeing, it's going to be really hard to build a life with that person because trust takes a long time to build but can be broken in an instant. Warren Buffett says it best, it can take you 25 years to build a reputation but take you only 3 seconds to lose it. So that's really what I think about when it comes to trust. It's really about that bond, either personally and or professionally, in which you and that individual are really trying to get things done on a grand scale.
Well, Marcus, that is so well said, because one of the things that we often throw around with trust is we forget about understanding how we distrust people, places, and things. And an example, like you just gave with your business, we trust, but there's always that element of distrust. trust that we all have as humans in other people, other places, and other things. Now, we talk about that in the business world, but I'd like to share this with you. I was talking with one of my lawyer friends this week, and he said, Francina, you've also got to talk about trust from a legal perspective and what trust means from their perspective. I'll share a little bit with you what he said. I think it's important for our listeners to understand because we all live to create a trust for our family, whether it's estate or will. And he said a trust is a fiduciary relationship in which one party, known as a trustor, gives another party, the trustee, the right to hold title to property or assets for the benefit of a third party, which is called the beneficiary. In finance, he says a trust can also be a type of closed-end fund that's built as a public limited company. Now, when you talk about trust, and we have it on the dollar bill, in God we trust, how do we teach our children and our grandchildren, Marcus, about the true value and sacredness of trust? It's earned. It's not given.
Well, just like you said, Francina, it's really about, you know, the actions. It comes to a trustor and a trustee in the very literal sense. And when it comes to just life in general perspective, you have to do it by the actions that you do. I.e., example, when I lost my construction business in 2013, I gave my fiance, who's now been my wife for five and a half years, I was honest with her, and I trusted in her, and I gave her the option. I said, Bonnie, you did not sign up to be with me at this time through this whole disaster. You know, when I met her, I was a successful businessman. Now she moved to be with me. I mean, she left her job, everything else. And, you know, I gave her the option, Francina, if she wanted to stay with me or not, because I think that was only the fair, trusting, honorable thing to do, not to put her in a situation that she didn't need to be involved in if she didn't want it, because it was just so early in our relationship. I didn't want her to be with me if she felt, you know, what I was doing was not going to benefit her best interest. So, and she told me verbatim these exact words, Marcus, I'm staying for the long haul, because you were successful once, you can have success again, because you're hardworking. You build a foundation, and you're very trusting. You just made some mistakes in business. So when she told me that, you know, we've been through a lot, Francine. We've been through highs, lows. We've been through arguments. We've been through great times. We've been through fiscally very challenging times to where we are today. And she showed me through the actions that I could trust her no matter what. And that's what I try to tell my daughters, and I tell people I coach and work with. It's easy to say something, like especially my 16-year-old, because, you know, right now she just has a guy friend. She's not dating anybody, but if she, you know, wants to date someone, I say, look, that's fine, but here, understand this. You have to have someone that the trust, like you, me and your mom have, you can trust that boy in that same regard. And I told her, I said, you know, if you want more clarity, go talk to your mom and ask her about what we've been through to tell you this from that real vantage point of being very just life experience driven. And she really took back by that, because she was very, first of all, she was happy. I was like, if you want to date, that's okay. But she was also like, well, it's nice to know that, you know, that my mom and you have that. Because that is something that a lot of people talk about. Like, really, Francine, you know this well. You've seen many things in your lifetime. People talk all day, well, I'm there for the good and the bad. I'm there for the thick and the thin. And as soon as bad times happen, as soon as things get really, really thick, they leave. Or they move on. Or they really believe, and I call this phrase, they believe the grass is greener on the other side. And it's really not. I mean, you know, you have to water your grass, not go look for new grass to go in pasture. So it's really about, I tell people, and especially this new America, really judge people off the actions and the consistency that they do, not just the words that they say.
Yes, yes, I love that. I love that so much because you are just reading my tea leaves, as you say. The trust here is just confirms your example of your own family life and how you're leading by example what trust looks like in a home. And this statement says, trust is something that is earned through our actions. It is the sense of security that allows both parties to expose themselves fully without any judgments or any fears. Well described by your family situation, Marcus. And if someone can break your trust in any way, shape, or form, it isn't true love. You see how they tie that back to our subject last week of love? You can't love without trust, can you?
No, you can't, because if you can't trust someone, like, for example, another great example, I travel a lot for business. I'm in Florida right now, getting ready to do a keynote for one of my big clients, MRI Network. And my wife knows when I go out of town, I'm going to be where I say I'm going to be. If I'm going to go see a movie, I let her know. If I'm going to go go do something, have a dinner with a colleague or one of the people that's a client of mine or something like that, my wife knows. That's the way you keep the trust. Like, I think it's so important because I really feel sometimes people feel like, well, I'm traveling, I'm doing this, I'm working, and I can go do things that really are not ethical or not moral. And, you know, my spouse will never find out. Well, you're right, because your spouse may never find out. But the problem is you will always know. Always. Yes. And if you can live with yourself, then obviously you don't love that person as much as you claim to. Like, I would never want to hurt my wife for what she's been through with me, all the love she's shown me, the dedication, the trust, the staying with me when she didn't have to. So I will never, ever break that. And I will always, as I travel and do things, she's going to know where I am, what I'm doing. And it's not something about me being on a leash. It's about me having a trusting, just open and honest relationship, because at the end of the day, Francina, that's how you should be as an adult. You should really give that person the higher respect that they deserve.
Exactly, Marcus. And as business owners such as you and myself, the business life, we'll talk about what it looks like for our economic development and our security in our communities going forward in 2020. We really need to restore trust. Because I look at, and we've talked about this on several occasions, when trust goes bad and it goes to distrust, when distrust becomes trust, and I'll share a quick example with you in business. When an employer, as you know, a contractor or employer is looking to entrust you as an entrepreneur to provide a quality product or a quality service into their business model so that they can achieve, and you take that trust and you dishonor that trust that they gave you, their circumstances to that. And then when we are involved in trust, and as myself, I trust unconditionally until there is reason to distrust your actions versus your words. And in our community and workforce development, Marcus, do you find that a key tenet going forward as our employers now are dealing with employees working from remote like they've never been before? They're going to have to trust that employee that says, I can honor my creed to work for you from home. Or that business owner, they can trust that business owner not to disclose corporate secrets. What say you, Marcus, on how we codify that going forward so we can all profit and be prosperous in this world?
Francine, you made a really excellent point. It's the employers must have trust with the employees to get things done from home remotely until the employee gives reason not to trust. And it's really interesting you say that, because everyone, a lot of my talks for the most part have been more virtual. People have been from home, you know, working in their offices, working at their kitchen tables. But everybody that I talk to that's high ethics and moral as in my inner circle, they're still working. They're, again, from home in their kitchen, mm-hmm. in an office, in a coffee shop. They're getting it done. Then you have some people who are using this pandemic as an excuse to be lazy, incompetent, and not do what they say they're going to do. Yes. My wife is a teacher, and my wife works extremely hard to make sure that she does all of her lesson planning. And this is even when we were doing this through being home virtually. She would do all of her teaching virtually. She would make sure the kids got what they needed. She would still prep and plan like she was going to school. You know, she was working from home. You know, my wife was doing that even through this year when they were kind of virtual, then half in person. Now that what they're doing now is you can choose either to be in school full time Monday through Friday, or you can choose to be virtual full time from home. You can't go back and forth like you were before. And my wife has spent, even what would happen is my wife will be working from home on Wednesdays. Now that's no longer as of this week, but she would work from home on Wednesdays, and I would see her at our kitchen table prepping for the day, have two laptops up. She'd be teaching kids. She'd be reading to kids. She'd be recording things for them. She'd be doing small groups. She'd be doing teaching. She'd be doing, you know, individual. I mean, she would be working, Francina, at that table from home from 7:30 a.m. until 3 p.m. every single Wednesday. So that is, and that's why she's so good at what she does. But, and here's the thing too, Francina, if you're not doing your work from home, at some point, like the old saying from the Bible, what you do in the dark will come to light. And if you don't take care of the stuff you need to take care of, it will come to the surface. And if it comes to the surface and you're then left making excuses or trying to say why you couldn't complete something, but you've been telling your employer you could get it done, then you're going to have another problem on your hands. And this is where I feel a lot of people have not adjusted well. The biggest thing I hear, Francine, from people right now that are working from home that they're struggling with is time management.
Yes.
So,
and that's big. That's huge. Because you look at our college graduates, you know, as we grew up in life, we look forward to graduating from college, getting our degree, and getting dressed up and going into the office and sitting at our desk and, you know, having meetings, and you know how that goes, Marcus, right? We're used to that. But today, it's a total different paradigm. And I believe this word in this new America that we call trust needs to be redefined and restored into its sacredness. And I love Miss Bonnie, your first lady, and I love hearing about how you two are leading by example. That's the very message that we want to continue to educate and lead others by example of what you're doing. So I appreciate your sharing that story with our listeners. Believe it or not, our listeners like to know from people, hear from folks who've been there, done that, and come through and can share something with them. Don't you agree, Marcus? We've got to share the story.
Well, and Francina, you have to be honest, vulnerable, and authentic. If people feel that you're speaking to them from a position of never experiencing hard times, never experiencing difficulty, adversity, then they don't look at your message the same. They don't look. They look at you as someone who's probably getting you information from an educational perspective or from others' perspectives, not your own. And I'm very honest. I mean, my wife and I, our first 2 years of marriage was extremely difficult because the pressure of my wife didn't work because we had a young child, you know, Sarah, which we agreed. But it was still hard because my speaking career was not going anywhere. I was working a lot of hours just trying to get by, trying to get things done as best I could. And it was very stressful, and it was a lot of heartache. It was a lot of me working many, many hours, and the pay was very, very, you know, low and just enough to pay the bills and maybe put a buck here, a buck two away in the bank, which was for what's going on, that's nothing at all at that time. but we stuck together and we had to learn how to communicate through chaos. You know, one of my favorite songs is called Moments in Love by The Art of Noise. And I saw their video. They had like a music video that came out a long time ago, probably in the 70s or 80s. And it said, life is divine chaos. And I thought about that. I said, wow, that's an excellent statement because life is divine, but it's chaos as well. I mean, there's a lot of times where we're not prepared. We don't have a plan. We don't have a strategy. But if you look at where we are and what you do and the fact that you're still here, you have a divine intention and you have a holy, you know, presence about you. And that's what really kept my wife and I together was our faith. My wife's father was a pastor for over 40 years. I was trying to reconnect myself with, you know, faith after I lost my father and my business. And faith really kept us together. There was no cheating, none of that kind of stuff. But it was this stress of life. And bills and finances and how to adjust to, you know, my wife not working and then us, you know, all being there. And it was just so many moving parts. So I'm always wanting to tell people that life is divine chaos and just understand you're going to have ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But if you can remain constant and just keep that foundational pillar of trust, you can get through anything with the right partner who you all have trust in each other, no matter what circumstances come about.
Amen, Marcus. You all, we're really on the same page here today because you just quoted a part out of, you know, the different ways that we can model the behavior, even through role-playing. You know, role-playing has become a big tenet, a big exercise in the home today so that you can show what trustworthiness look like. And to your point there, it said when you want others to trust you, trust them first. And establishing trust between two people is definitely something of an exercise in faith, which you so well described, because we can trust in people, places, and things, but the ultimate trust in its meaning divinely is trust in God. And I love this topic. We don't have enough time, but the New America, we're going to be talking more about this, aren't we, Marcus? The trust that we must have in ourselves and God first. And then we bring that out into our workplace, the workforce, and into our business contracts.
You know, everything we do in life starts with trust, from personal to professional, but it plays a major facet in workforce development because as you're learning how to improve your skill sets, become a more servant leader, learning how to develop that mentality of healthy inclusion, as you're learning how to train yourself and be open to being taught and then teaching others and, you know, then resonating with others. All these things play a major facet into workforce development. The more, and I'll say this, and I want people to really understand to get this more than anything from our show today, the more you practice and really exuberate and just really kind of manifest from yourself the intangible assets, leadership, you know, active listening, trust, development, process, fairness, equity, is the more those come off of you, the better you're going to do in the workforce. Because the tangible assets, education, understanding your craft, everybody should be able to do that to a certain degree. But what separates the great workforce from the average workforce is what are the intangible assets that people can't see or can't really put into. They really don't know how to, you know, categorize it. But when they see the trust, when they see the loyalty, when they see the equity, they know what it is. The more you can do that, Francine, in workforce development, the better off you're going to be.
Yes, Marcus, and I'm going to close my part with this here. We'll talk about the New America. It's you run out of time when you're talking about such a good subject, but based on for those workforce leaders that we're working with today to create this new workforce, there are a few tenets that I'd like to share that we can take notes on to trust someone at work. and to be a worker of trustworthiness, number one is tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And number two is admit when you're wrong and admit when you know something. Admit when you know something. And then you look at, if you say you're going to do it, do it. And if you are meant to do it, do it. And these are just very simple things that we can do at work to improve trusting our employees, trusting our bosses, and trusting our contract providers. What say you, Marcus? And we'll bring this to a close as you share your final closing thoughts, and we'll bring this session to a close. Marcus, please.
Francina, as always, what you said, I agree with 100% spot on. Bringing trust to the work field, bringing trust as an employer, as an employee, as a team member, as a team leader, as a producer for your organization. Everything will be built from there. November 19th and 20th, we'll be in Asheville, North Carolina at the Biltmore. We're excited about, you know, this workforce development, you know, conference, you know, you, myself, Mr. Patrick Yankee, and of course, Mr. Stedman Graham, bringing not just tangible educational points, but the intangible asset tool sharpening to give you the real edge in workforce. Again, if you can really master the skills of servant leadership, active listening, and being a great leader who serves their team and serves their clients' needs, and your goals get met in the process, no matter what workforce type you want to do, you will be an excellent candidate with great leadership in the workforce development space. So again, November 19th and 20th, Asheville, North Carolina. Join us in person or virtually. It's an amazing event, has some great speakers lined up, some great events, and we look forward to seeing you all there.
All righty, that sounds good to me, and that's for New America. And to all of our listeners, it's family time. It's time to get our trust affairs in order so we may lead by example today for our tomorrow, our next generation, because we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Until next week, same time, same station. We are Francina T. Hallress and Marcus Ogden, your hosts.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Empower your family with the dynamic new book by Francina Hallress, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are. It's the book that gives you insights into life's problems. Francina Hallress is an author, motivational speaker, and national broadcaster who believes the answers to your problems lies within the knowledge that was once traditionally passed down by families. But that knowledge has been short-circuited by today's faster pace. The book, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, brings that accumulated wisdom to the problems that all families face. You'll find your copy of Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, at Amazon and at better bookstores. Empower your life with the dynamic new book, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, by Francina Hallress.
Thank you for joining Francina Hallress on Empowered Family Talk. Tune in next week.